జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్యం అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితినిలా ప్రవేశ ఓం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నితి ఆనంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోవ గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయకి యమునమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్తవృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్. All glories to the assembly. All glories to the assembly. All glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామే నమస్తే సరస్వతి ఓం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాత్. శ్రీమద్భాగవతాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాఠయోర్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథత్వం యజ ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యోన్వయా ఇతరద సర్తేష్వభిన్యస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మహదాయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంది యత్సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైరవోత్ర పరమో నర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమక్రవస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వావరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూష విత్తక్షణా. నిగమకల్పకరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబదా భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భోగా. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తావత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందమనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుభావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయత యత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథిదీర్షదాం తమోన్నం సంసారిణం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయమునీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలభీను కొనిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాజి విజంబరా మురారే మధురిన్నా కరికాపి కాపి కాపి. మమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామినే अस्ते सरस्वती देवीं दूरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः. वन्दे नन्दं व्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरिगतो गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्द परमानवे नमः. पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि. कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारक वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदं पुरतो मम. मूगं करोति वाजालं पन्तुं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमते राधिकायै नमः. सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्दम्. Continue from last Sunday, and as I said before, whatever we discuss here from this particular chapter, particularly in Ekadasha Skandam generally, and specifically these chapter 10, 11, these chapters are very, very difficult to understand, because the nature of the liberation, the process of liberation when Krishna discusses here, even Uddhava has serious questions to ask, as we have seen before. And the end of Bhagavadam, you will see, Ya edadananda samudra sambhradam, yanamadam bhagavadaya bhashidam. Sudeva Goswami has spoken Srimad Bhagavadam and referring to Krishna, Sudeva Goswami says, Eedad Ananda Samudra Sambhradam Jnanamrutam Bhagavadaya Bhashidam. That for the sake of a devotee, Bhagavadaya Bhashidam, who is that devotee? Uddhava. Eedad Ananda Samudra Sambhradam, that's the words he has used there. Ananda Samudra Sambhradam means that the ocean which is full of bliss, and Krishna has taken that in his hands, in his palm, and gives it to Uddhava like this. Just like we take Charanamritam, he takes, gives it to Krishna, Uddhava like that. Jnanamritam Bhagavadaya Bhashidam. Jnanamritam, it is not only Amritam, it is the nectar of Amritam. That is the knowledge of Amritam. The knowledge, if it comes in the form of Amritam, nectar, this is how it comes out from Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, you will find Parthaya Pratibodhidam. There, Krishna was the milkman, isn't it? He was, if you remember those verses, Parthaya Pratibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gharidam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam. There, it mentions there later that Sarva Upanishado Gavo. If the all the Upanishads, if you consider it as a cow, Dogdha Gopala Nandana. Gopala Nandana or Krishna is the milkman. Partho Valsa, Arjuna is the calf. Sudhir Bhokta, one who has got good intelligence, Sudhi Bhokta, he can drink this milk. So Partho Valsa, Sudhir Bhokta, Dugdham Gidamrdam Mahat, the nectar of Gita has spoken like that to Arjuna. So there it is considered as milk. That is Partho Valsa, Sudhir Bhokta, Dugdham Gidamrdam Mahat. that great Bhagavad Gita has been spoken in that way, where Krishna was the milkman, Arjuna was the calf, and then again there were people with good intelligence, Sudhir, they can drink that milk. When it comes to Ekadasha Skandam, it is Yedadananda Samudra Sambradam Yanamradam Bhagavadaya Bhashidam. For the sake of Arjuna, for the sake of Uddhava, this nectar of knowledge Krishna has given to him. And how is that? What is the beauty of this nectar compared to the nectar in Bhagavad Gita? Compared to nectar in Bhagavad Gita, this nectar is little different. Why? Here, what happens is, bhava bhayam avahandam jnana vijnana saram nigamakadubaja hre bringaval vedasaram. That bhava bhayam avahandam, bhava bhayam means repeated cycle of birth and death. That will go. That bhayam of continuous Ekadasham's beauty is like that. That once Ekadasham is properly realized, then there is no more birth, there is no more death afterwards. That's why it is said like that. Bhava bhayam abahandam jnana vijnana saram. That knowledge which is the essence of all the Vedic literature. Nigamadrubayahre brangaval vedasaram. Just like a bee goes and collects the honey from different flowers, it only takes what is necessary from each flower and brings it together collectively as the honey. And similarly, Krishna has done exactly the same thing. From all the Upanishads, Krishna has taken what is necessary. Nigama krutu bhaja khre bringavad vedasaram and amrutamutadadishchabayayal vrityavargan. And then that nectar, what Krishna has collected, he served it to the Uddhava, just like Payal Bhrityavargan Purusha Krishavamadhyam Krishna Samyam Matosmi. How did he do that? Just like after the churning of the milk ocean when the nectar came out, how Krishna distributed the nectar to all the demigods and saved them from the cycle of birth and death. Similarly, here it says, Amrutamudhadadishchabayayal Bhrityavargan. Bhrityavargan means Krishna's devotees. That great supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. Purusha Krishabhamadhyam Krishna Samyam Natosmi Krishna Samyam. And who has got this name as Krishna? To him, Natosmi. Sukadeva Goswami pays his respectful obeisances. So, Ekadasha Skandam is difficult. It's very, very, very difficult to understand and to realize it. There is a statement in the Upanishads also. Basically, the Upanishads' knowledge has come to Ekadasham. Krishna has taken the essence from all the Upanishads and brought it together. That's why time and again you will find the quotations from Upanishads coming in different forms. Upanishads, what happens is, one who has studied Upanishads properly, eventually the principles what is explained or tattvam in the Upanishads and the person who has studied, they become one. There is no difference between them. That is what happens to the Upanishads knowledge. If you remember, we talked about this before also, that four Vedas, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam. And in these Vedas, Upanishads come as the last part. Mantram, Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishads. Four parts in the Vedas. Brahmachari stage, you study the mantram. In the Garhastyam stage, the householder stage, you study the Brahmanam. In the Vanaprastha stage, you study the Aranyakam, and in the Sannyasam stage, it is Upanishads. So that's how it is separated. In addition to that, Mantram and Brahmanam, Mantram, what you have, one has learned in the Brahmachari stage for performing the sacrifices in the Brahmana, in the householder life, this Mantram and Brahmanam is combinedly known as Karmakandam. Similarly, Aranyakam, which is studied in the Vanaprastha stage, and Upanishads in the Sannyasam, they are combined together and called it Jnanakandam. So Karmakandam and Jnanakandam, the two divisions in the Vedas, comes there. Again, in different Vedas or corollary, as the last part of the Vedas, these Upanishads were spoken. For example, Ishopanishad and the Kathopanishad, they come in the Yajurvedam. They come in the Yajurvedam. Similarly, you will also notice that the other Upanishads, like in the Aitareya Upanishads, comes in the Rigvedam. And Taittiriya Upanishad, Shedashwaram and Brihadaranya Upanishad comes in Yajurvedam again. In Samavedam comes Keno Upanishad, Chandukya Upanishad, and in Adharana Vedam comes Prashnopanishad, Mundaka Upanishad and Mandukya Upanishad. So the 10 major Upanishads, Isha, Kenam, Katham, Prashnam, Mundakam, Mandukyam, Taittiri, Chandokyam, Aidareyam, Brihadaranyam, all of them comes in 4 different Vedas, are different at the end of each of those Vedas. But for us now, this Kathopanishad and particularly the Ishopanishad, they come from the Yajurvedam. They come from the Yajurvedam. So, in the ancient times, the system was that the people studied Upanishads first. Because from Upanishads these have come. So if one has a good grounding in Upanishads, it makes a lot easier to relate with Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Because it's the Upanishads knowledge that's been spoken through different pastimes and the stories what you find in all the Puranas. This is actually the expanded form of the Upanishads principles. In Upanishads you won't find such detailed expositions like you see in the Puranam. So, the basic principle was in the past that they studied Upanishads in depth before they enter into Puranam. So that way when they come to Bhagavatam and other Puranas, it makes a lot easier to relate with Srimad Bhagavatam. Many things in the Bhagavatam, because in Bhagavatam, Krishna hasn't had or Sudeva Goswami did not want to expand to that such a level, because then Bhagavatam could have been a lot more bigger. Already it is 18,000 verses, people find it very hard to manage it. But imagine one who has studied the Upanishads very well, he would find it a lot easier with the Puranams, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam. So, unless we give a lot of time and attention to Bhagavatam, it will always remain as an unknown thing to us. That's why I was saying that everything what we talk about Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly Ekadasi Skandam, requires constant reflection and continuous thoughts about it. And then only then it will become a little, the clarity will come. So, here in the 16th, in the 11th chapter, Krishna began with this, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Bandho muktamidi khyada gunadomi namastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. This is how Krishna begins this chapter. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Bandho muktamidi khyada gunadomi namastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Straight away, Krishna is saying there, bandham and mukti. That means bondage and liberation. Krishna says, gunado me navastuda. There is no question, it is coming from the gunam, the three gunam. Gunam means what? Three modes of material nature. Because in the end of the last chapter, Uddhava raised this question to Krishna. What was Uddhava's question? How can he, nitya buddho, nitya mukta, ega evedi me brahma. That nitya buddha is the conditioned soul and nitya mukta is a liberated soul. How come they occupy the same body? How can it be? How can it happen like this? It looks very difficult to understand. That was Uddhava's statement. Nitya mukto nitya baddha ega mevedi me brahma. That's confusing. That causes that I'm not able to understand this. Uddhava says this to Krishna. Ega mevedi me brahma. In reply to that, Uddhava Krishna begins like this. Bandham mukti idi khyada gunado me navastuda. Actually, bandham and mukti doesn't exist. Bandham and mukti doesn't exist. Actually, when we talk about mukti, most of the devotees also, they are not excluded from this. Even they also will say like this, that, oh, somehow or the other, if I finish this material life, I can go back, come back to Godhead, and then say from then on, I'm okay. So, we have developed this understanding that mukti is something somewhere else kept for us. Right now I have to finish this life somehow and get back there. Strictly speaking, if you look from the Bhagavatam point of view, in the second canto, mukti has already been spoken. Mukti has been defined clearly. What is mukti? Mukti is, mukti hi tanyadha rupam surubena vyavastiti. That anyadha rupam tektva surubena vyavastiti. to reject everything what we are not and be situated within the self, within ourselves what we are. That's mukti according to Srimad Bhagavatam. The mukti hi tanyadharubam surubhena vyavasthiti. How to be situated within one's own self as we are, who we are in that way. So having said that, in the canto here also Krishna is saying, Vendum mukti idi khyada gunato me na vastuda. They are the products of modes of nature. It has come from the three modes, but in reality they don't have any truth in them. Gunasya maya mulatval. Maya mulatvam. Because of maya, gunams have come. Three gunas are products of maya, isn't it? Sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. Three modes of nature. They are products of maya. Is it not? So, and maya is something which doesn't exist. Maya is something which doesn't exist. Now, I know when I say these things, it confuses people, isn't it? People get confused. How can it be? You're saying something doesn't exist and you're saying it has come from that. How does it work? Because for us, I'll come to that. Why that difficulty is within us? How to get over that? Gunasya maya mulatval. From maya, three gunams have come. And because maya doesn't exist, name moksho na bandhanam. There is neither bondage nor liberation. This is Krishna's statement here. First of all, Krishna is saying here that bandham and mukti, bondage and liberation, strictly speaking, doesn't exist. Because they are the products of the three modes of material nature. The modes of nature has come from maya. And because maya is not a real thing, maya is something what we don't understand what it is. But we know maya exists. Gunasya maya mulatval na me moksho na bandhanam. Because maya is not a real thing, and there, because we don't know how maya will act, we can define, so many people have tried to define maya. Akatita gatana padiyasi maya. There are so many different definitions for maya. But nobody has been able to say what maya is, strictly speaking. So, gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Krishna says that then was actually, he says here that because the gunas themselves are full of maya, the modes of nature, the soul cannot come into contact with either of them. Purely because soul doesn't come into contact with any of these things. And therefore, bandham and moksham is not true. So in the next word, because it appeared as though we are talking against the shastram, Krishna used the word idime vyakhya. Krishna says, idime vyakhya. What it means is, this is my decision. Because all shastras have come from me, Krishna is saying, that's the way I have decided and there is no more further argument about it. You can only take logic up to a point. Krishna is saying there that idime vyakhya, you cannot keep on questioning this, why is it like that? People are asking these questions. Why did Krishna create all these things so complicated? Could not have made it much simpler for us. People ask this question. And these questions are coming because they have not understood about what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is saying here, idime vyakhya. I don't need to explain to you why it is like that, because all shastrams have come from me. I am the origin of all the shastram. And that is my conclusion, and you have to just accept it that way. Idime vyakhya. Gunado mena vastuda. In other words, what Krishna is saying there, because of the products of material nature or maya, illusion, all these things have come. Therefore, it has to be understood. And as we study this further, we have to go through different examples. I have spoken these same examples before, but we'll go through that again so that somehow it may click in our mind, that the clarity may come to us. That why these questions are coming back to us. Questions should not come back, because Krishna is saying here, gunasya maya mulatval. Because of maya, these gunams have come, name moksho na bandhanam. This is because we have not understood the nature of the soul, nor we have not understood Bhagavad Gita seriously. That's why all these difficulties are coming. We have to constantly bring Bhagavad Gita in and out, because it is Bhagavad Gita, it is Kathopanishad, it is other Upanishads which has come into these chapters. And there it has been discussed in length, and because here it's been summarized to such a few verses, it becomes much more difficult. In the Gunasya Maya Mulatwal, Name Moksho Na Bandhanam. Maya Mulatwal, because of that, doesn't exist. Now, the examples I gave before, the three major examples, if you remember, three major examples I gave you before, obviously those have come and gone, but we'll go with that again. Strictly speaking, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, those examples were taken in order to make us understand our difficulty in realizing the canto, in this Ekadasham. Ekadasham's difficulty is there in understanding that. As I mentioned before, that there is this Mahabharata war in a drama shown. The whole Mahabharatam is shown in a drama, and a lot of people are watching this drama. They are watching the Mahabharatam drama. While the drama was going on, you will see the various scenes coming from Mahabharatam. Just like where Draupadi was insulted by Dushasana. Later on, Bhimasena take the vow that he is going to beat up Dushasana and take his intestines out and drink his blood. That revengeful Bhimasena. And then later on, between Duryodhana and Bhimasena, the big fight between Bhimasena and Duryodhana. All these different, some of them very horrible scenes, they were all shown in the drama, in the stage. When you are watching Mahabharatam, you are witnessing all these different scenes there, isn't it? Everything. How Draupadi was offended, Draupadi was disrobed by Dushasana, and how all the Pandavas took the vow there to take the revenge, particularly Bhimasena, Bhima fuming inside. And eventually in Mahabharatam you see after the war, at the end of the war, how as promised Bhimasena killed Dushasana and took his intestines and put it as a garland. And when Dushasana was Draupadi was disrobed, Bhimasena said, "I will tie her hair when I finish up Dushasana, who has done this to her. After killing Dushasana with my blood in the hands, I'll tie the hair of Draupadi." This vow Bhimasena has taken. So these scenes comes one after the other in Mahabharatam. All these scenes are coming one after the other, and we are sitting and watching these scenes in Mahabharatam. And later on, when these things were happening, we are experiencing that ourselves, isn't it? Most of us are seeing that, we are getting affected by that. We are getting affected by that. And if the actors have performed it very well, it will have its impact on us. And sometimes you feel sorry for Draupadi, what happened. And sometimes people feel sorry for Dushasana also, when he gets killed by Bhimasena like that. And then at the final hours of after the war, when Duryodhana was killed by Bhimasena after being instructed by Krishna from behind, and when Duryodhana didn't lose the battle, but Bhimasena decided to beat him on his thigh and kill him, and that also was not morally justified, but Krishna's point of view, it is justified. So all these things, when you look at, your mind is completely absorbed in that, and you are witnessing all these things, and you are feeling compassion for Draupadi, you are feeling anger at Dushasana, and so many feelings, emotions are developing inside, same time, isn't it? All these emotions are developing inside. After Mahabharatam drama was over, the people got up and walking away, they saw all those who were acting as Draupadi and Dushasana and Duryodhana and Bhimasena. They were all actors. They are walking out together. They are walking out together, chatting with about various other things. Their business is over. They are finished and they are gone away. What has actually happened here was, they have succeeded in creating this feeling in us.
Actually, Draupadi was not disrobed. Dushasana was not killed. Bhimasena has not worn the intestines, nor his hands were tainted with blood. None of these things have happened in reality, isn't it? But the moment when we were going through that stage, we were experiencing everything at that time. We were all the people who were watching that, they were saying to each other, oh, that was terrible, what has happened to Draupadi, or what has happened to Dushasana. That feeling that they have succeeded in creating us, the actors, through their acting, they have created this feeling in us. So, Krishna is saying here, bondage and liberation is also like that. Actually, nothing has happened. Soul was never bound, and soul was never liberated either. From where did this come then? We are doing all this intense sadhana, and intense austerities, as we all do, very intense austerities, and very intense penances. All these things for what? To escape from all these things, isn't it? Misery is not so material nature. We also talk about adhyatmikam, adhidevikam, adhibhaudikam, three kinds of misery. So many things we talk about it. And we want to escape from all these things, so we are doing all these things. But Krishna is saying here, name moksho na bandhanam. There is neither bondage, there is no liberation either. This is Krishna's point of view. Now, if you ask a question to Krishna, that how can it be? Actually, it is all real to me. I am experiencing everything every moment. Krishna says, yes, it is true for the moment when you are experiencing it. But in Krishna's point of view, if you look into this, Vando muktam iti vyakhya gunato me na vastuta. It is not a truth. Why? Gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. That Vando muktaha me gunataha natu vastudaha. They are not true. This is Krishna's point. They are not true. Why? Gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Because gunams themselves, the three gunas themselves are coming from Maya, they have no reality. This was Krishna's point. Now, just like this example you have seen, you may have understood something from that, why Krishna is speaking like this. Another example is, sometimes if you go to the city center in some places, say Watford or any other town center, you will see sometimes some artists, they bring this color powder and they draw pictures there. They are good artists. They draw on the floor. Say sometimes the pictures of some politicians or some big leaders who are famous. They draw their picture with this color powder and the chalk and all other powders, what they have, different things they use, and they draw a picture there. And people, and they put their hat there, and you put some 10 pence or 50 pence or whatever you want to give. They appreciate that. People who pass through. On a nice summer day, you can see this happening often. So when they come and they pass through these places, through the town centers, little towns, you won't see mostly in the big cities, but in smaller towns you will see this. They pass through and they see the picture, immediately they recognize who it is. And that brings certain emotions in a person, isn't it? When they see that picture. Oh, if it is a some big politician, they think about that politician, at least for that moment, what he has done good and what he has done bad. So many thoughts will come through the mind in a natural way. Or if it is some big a sportsman or musician or somebody like that, those who are attracted to that, they will also have its effect on them. So whatever it is, for the moment when you saw it, it had impact on you. It has impacted on you. Say by evening 4 o'clock, the person has collected some money, he cleans up the whole place and he has gone. So what has happened here? There was nobody was created there. It was all some powder on the floor, what he has thrown in different directions, in different ways. But he has succeeded in creating that in you, that feeling of seeing that form. That form, what you have seen, you felt it as real for that moment. And the form has created certain impressions inside, isn't it? It has created some impressions inside. But the person who drew the picture, in his mind, before he was drawing the picture, he had a form inside, and that is what has come out there, in the form of that picture. This is what it is said. Vajarambho namadheyam mrityagatyeva satyam. That everything begins from inside. It doesn't come from outside. It has begun from inside. Inside, already the form has manifested. And that form came out in this way, what you have seen in the on the floor, what he has drawn. And then he withdraws himself, he forgets about everything, he cleans up the place and he goes away, and it has disappeared. But temporarily, the form has created that feeling inside. What exactly you have experienced at that time is some reality there. There is some reality in that. And that is why it is said that bandham and mukti, or in other words, bondage and liberation, is also very similar to that. That for the moment when you are experiencing, it's all real. It's all real. But when you will realize one day that many things what we have experienced in this world has no reality in its own. It's experienced because we feel the reality because of Maya. Three modes of material nature. How does these three modes work? Because as you know, we mentioned this before, the three states of existence also is Maya, is Maya's creation. Sattva-gunam is related to Jagrat, waking state. Rajogunam is related to the dream state. And Tamogunam is related to the deep sleep. The three states and the three gunas, they are connected like this. Because they are connected each other in that way, and because these three gunas are false, these three states of existence are also false. This is the logic behind it. Because the three gunas are false, similarly the three states of existence are also false, because it's coming from the three gunas. That's what Krishna is saying here. But we are not able to come to terms with it. Why? For a very, very long time, we have taken Jagrat as the reality and Sopnam as Sopnam or dream. So when it comes to Jagrat, it becomes a problem for us. And that's why Krishna wants to clear up that confusion from our mind. A third example, just an example to see this, how this works, this thinking. That when you watch a movie, the movie is going on, you are seriously absorbed in the movie. Everything that comes on the screen is affecting you, isn't it? You are affected by the movie. That sometimes there is love scene, sometimes there is fighting going on, there is a hero, there is a villain, and there is all sorts of things in the movie. According to the movie progressing, your emotions are also changing. The mind is also changing. You are relating with that. But actually if you look at it, there is only the screen there. There's only the screen there. And screen is the reality. The thing, everything what was imposed on the screen from behind through the projector is what was having this effect on us. What is having the effect on us. So Krishna is saying here that the navastuda, they are not reality. Reality is something different than all these things. Today we are accepting everything as reality because this is the world we have accepted as reality, isn't it? Unasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Actually, neither moksham, there is bandhanam either. Once it so happened that a lady was wearing a very expensive chain and with a very expensive necklace attached to it. So, when she had to go somewhere, she removed this necklace from the chain and kept it somewhere. After a while, she has forgotten that she has put it back. And then she went around somewhere and some thoughts came to her that I left the necklace somewhere. I've forgotten that. She kept on searching for that. For a long time she searched and it was a very expensive one. So when she found out that later on the necklace she was looking for was hanging on her own neck. Sometimes it happens, I don't know. Not so much for the young people, but for old people, they'll keep their glasses on the eyes and be looking for the glasses. This happens. Sometimes it happens because something in their mind is saying that I left the glasses somewhere I have to find it. And the glasses are on the, and later on the grandchild or somebody points out, granddad, your glasses on your eyes. And then he realizes the glasses are not, lost it. So these things are there. That this is the way Maya is controlling us in different ways. So gunasya maya mulatwal name moksho na bandhanam. Krishna is saying that Maya's nature, when the necklace was lost, and when necklace was got back, she suffered a lot when she lost the necklace. When she got the necklace back, she had felt very happy. Oh, I got it back now, she says. But strictly speaking, necklace was not lost. Necklace was not regained either. But it created this impact on the person that she experienced for that moment that I have experienced that misery. She experienced that misery and she felt the happiness when she got recovered from that equally. So from this you can see that so many things in this world, if it can create that, how come Maya cannot create this feeling in us? The interesting thing here is, there is a little difference between these three examples we have seen and the real situation with us. Real situation with us. For how many lifetimes, we don't know, we have been identifying with the body. We have been identifying with this body, material body. And that karma vasana and that identification has been strong in us for so many lifetimes and which has followed us through this life also. And because we are absorbed in the bodily concept of life to such a depth, when Krishna says this to us, we find it difficult to accept it. Why? Because the power of Maya is so strong, that identification with the body is so strong, and the vasanas we have brought with us from several lifetimes is so strong, that we are unable to come to terms with what Krishna is saying. That is the problem. And Shastram is saying to us, because it has become so deep rooted in us, this thought of this body and bodily identification and the reality of this body is so deep in us, to get out of this, an equally determined and firm effort is necessary from our side, and that is sadhana. That is sadhana. Sadhana is nothing but what we perform as our daily sadhana. This is why equally powerful sadhana is necessary to come out of this situation, what we are in. You may ask the question, how come there are so many intelligent people? How come they are not able to understand that? The answer to that question is, the people who are studying through their intelligence, they are also in the same pit as we are, in the effect of Maya. They are not free from that. Your intelligence and mind and senses cannot help you in these things, because they are all infected with this thing called Maya. Maya has infected intelligence, Maya has infected mind, Maya has infected the senses, Maya has infected everything. Only thing what's not affected by Maya, as Krishna is saying, is the soul. Everything else is affected by Maya. And because it is like that, while being within Maya, with the same knowledge you are studying the soul. So how can you escape from this? That is why we say, no effort in this direction through universities and all will not work. Because they are also sitting within inside this Maya and then speculating from there. This is the reason behind it. That because the Maya is so strong, equal effort, such a very dedicated and determined effort is necessary from our side to get out of this Maya, to come out of this avidya or ignorance that is present in us. Avidya that is present in us. So that is how we have to realize this. But we are not able to realize it because we don't even think in that way. Our thinking process or thought process has not developed in this way. We are always thinking of, we are properly situated, everything is fine with me, I have taken initiation, now everything, I am going in the right direction. That's fine. But the question is that why Shastras are insisting that you have to chant the holy name all the time and always absorbed in Krishna and remembering Krishna. That's the only way to get out of this Maya. Srimad Bhagavatam is helping us in that direction. Why Krishna said that study Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. Krishna is present. Krishna is not infected with Maya. Everybody else is infected with Maya. So those who are within Maya, in order to come out from that, as Uday Goswami said in the Tasmal Sarvatmana Rajan, Hari Sarvartra Sarvada, Shodavya Kirtilavyascha, Smartavyascha Chadabhayam. If one has to free oneself from this fear of material existence, he has no other alternative except to take Krishna consciousness seriously. That's the only answer to that. So in these verses you will find, while we are beginning with this canto, chapter 11, these things should be very firmly established inside. Otherwise, we will constantly ask this question, again we'll come back with the same question. Krishna is saying here, gunadome namastuda, that has come from gunam, it is not true. Gunasya maya mulatval, mayam is the cause behind it, name moksho na bandhanam. And because the deep-rooted avidya inside us, which has come to us from several lifetimes in several bodies, that has followed us and kept us in this identification with this body. Identification with the body. Therefore, what's happening is, sometimes some of the questions when you hear from some people is very interesting. One person was asking, he's working, and he's obviously very much attached to that work. He earns well, he lives a good life, comfortable life, that's fine. But the difficulty for him is, he's chanting 16 rounds also, but he has chanted so many years these 16 rounds, and he's saying that I still feel stuck here, I'm not going very far, he feels. Why is it like that? This is a question to ask, isn't it? So many years you are chanting, and so many years you are absorbed in the, you are thinking that you are making progress in spiritual life, but you also felt the need to live in that life of career and profession and money and all that, that world also. So you were thinking that these two things could go together. Shastram is saying that all that part of it is avidya. All that part is avidya. From avidya you are absorbed 20 hours in a day. And 2 hours in probably in Vidya, that is also not sure, 100%. Said, how do we expect to free ourselves from this? This is the difficulty. That while Krishna is saying there, that you have to have complete absorption in Krishna, because avidya will only go away when Krishna walks inside. This is why 24 hours spiritual life is necessary. 24 hours spiritual life is necessary. Otherwise it's not possible. Whatever we may chant in this state of, people are asking this question, that I've chanted so many years, but I'm still not, they're even asking the question, is something wrong with Krishna now? The question is coming like this now. Somebody has asked me this question, that's why I'm saying. Why has Krishna messed up everything like this? This was the question. Because the avidya that is inside is so deep, that to break through that, to cut that, you require very, very, very determined and strong sadhana inside. And that sadhana is not coming. He has been told 16 rounds is enough. Oh, I done my road, threw the beats bag and went to work. And for 10, 12 hours he was busy with all the materialists, hardcore materialists, enjoying their happiness and distress with them. And what extent have you thought about Krishna at that time? Where was the thoughts of Krishna? Then the thought of Krishna comes next day morning when you take the beats bag again. This is our reality. And in this reality to expect that we are going to understand bondage and liberation, it's not going to happen. That's what Krishna is pointing out here. Gunadome namastuda. We are in constant association with the three modes of nature. Gunasya maya mulatval. Maya is controlling us for 20 hours and probably Krishna is controlling us for 15 or 20 minutes in a day. This is the situation. So, name moksho na bandhanam. So, in order to come to this, we have to take into account all these things. It's no point attending seminars and courses and all that. Nothing is going to help. It's all a waste of time. Completely wasting time. Shastram is telling us openly these things. You can go on visiting all over the world after courses and seminars, but you will be where you are. At the time of death, nothing will help. Krishna is pointing out to this, that intense sadhana and intense determined dedicated remembrance of Krishna through Shastram and through the holy name is the escape route, nothing else. And this is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we come to Canto 11, there is no soft talk. Everything is very straightforward. Even Uddhava has to be told about this. If you look into the second verse, Krishna will say there, then, Gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Having said that, Krishna is saying here, that in the next verse, Shogam, Shogam moha sukho dukham, Dehavatischa mayaya, Satno yadatmanyakhyadi samsardir nadu vastavi. If you look into that verse, what does Krishna say there? Shogam moha sukham dukham, Dehavatischa mayaya, Dehavatischa mayaya, Atmano, Satnam yadatmano khyadi samsardir nadu vastavi. Shogam moham, because maya is a karanam. Karanam and Kairyam, isn't it? Two things we saw before. Karanam is the cause and Kairyam is the effect. Karanam is the cause and Kairyam is the effect. Karanam is the cause and they are coming from Maya. And because they are coming from Maya, the Kairyam, the effect also has to have the same effect of the Karanam, cause. Something real cannot come from illusion. From illusion only illusion will come. Reality cannot come from illusion. So, because the modes of nature is illusion and the product of Maya, the creation is also, according to Krishna, is Maya. It's difficult to accept all these things because, so as I mentioned before, in the first verse itself, that so many lifetimes we have accepted this as the reality. And our identification with the body has been so deepened. That if somebody says something, it disturbs us that we are not this body. How could you say that? But then we realized it, that it's no harm saying this to others. So we use it as a way to present it to us when we are depressed. Oh, you know, I'm not this body after all, what does it matter? But that doesn't help us solve the problem. Problem is still there. Problem hasn't gone away. Problem is this, that identification with the body has come from several lifetimes. And Krishna is saying here, because the body itself is a product of Krishna, as far as Krishna is concerned, even Dehavati. Dehavati means what? Deham has come as a avata. Avata means what? As a danger. Dehavatischa mayaya. Dehavati, he says here, Dehavatischa mayaya. It is like a danger it has come to us. What? This maya, this deham, material body. Dehavatischa mayaya. And therefore, Sopnam yad almanakhyadi samsardir nadu vastavi. That just like Swapnam, what you have experienced a dream, when you come out of that from to the vacant state, immediately you recognize straight away that it was all just a, not a reality, isn't it? Similarly, Krishna is saying there, the material existence also is creation of the mind, nothing more than that. It's a difficult thing to understand, I know I'm very conscious of this, that it's very difficult to come to terms with it in life. Because so many lifetimes, and then the tendency is to reject everything. That should not happen, because Krishna's point of view is this. If you look into this chapter further, you will see that the only way to come out of this, till we realize that truth, what Krishna is talking about, these problems will keep coming. Shogam oho sukham dukham dehavatischa mayaya satno yadalpana khyadi samsadir nadu vastavi. Krishna says, shogam moham. Shogam means lamentation. Moham, hankering. Sukham, dukham, happiness and distress. Dehavatischa maya, that will be there as long as there is a material body. There is a body. If you look at it ourselves, you can see that what is real in us? What is the thing, what is real in us? There is only one thing, what is real in us? That is the soul, isn't it? What is body? Body, five material elements came together and they will break up and go when the time is over. When the time is over, the five material elements, they will break up and they will go in their own way. Body is finished with that. And still, we think that the body as we are and unable to recognize the soul inside. This is why in the Bhagavad Gita, if you see, Krishna said this, what exists will always exist. That is the reality. That's what Krishna says there, isn't it? What does Krishna say? What is that verse? Sorry? Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. These verses are like mantras. This word from Krishna is like a mantra. This should be repeated all the time to get out of this understanding. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayor avidrishtvandam stanayor tattva darshivi. Tattva darshivi. Krishna says, realized souls have spoken this, that what is real will always remain, and what is not real will never become real. This is the basic, very fundamental understanding of spiritual life. The commentaries on this verse from all the acharyas are for extended pages, hundreds of pages they have written. Because this is the very basis of everything. What is real will always remain, and what is not real is never going to become real at any cost. You cannot create a reality from illusion. Reality will all, and the only reality is the soul. That is Krishna's point. This he has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayoravi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshivi. Tattva darshivi. Tattva darshi means one who has seen the truth. They have concluded this already. Concluded this already. And from there you can see that the same thing comes here. That it's the same principle. Shogam moham sukham dukham deham. These are all maya. Satnam yadatmanakhyadi. Yadatmanakhyadi samsadir nadu vastavi. Nothing is real. Krishna is saying what is real in all these things. Absolute reality is only the soul. Nothing else. Absolute reality is only the soul. But when we do not study Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita, what happens? Our identification with the body increases. And the result of that identification is that we continue to get attached to material life. And material consciousness develops very strongly in a person. So, in order to free ourselves from this situation, Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, and not only that, in Bhagavadam, Krishna has spoken in depth about it. So, if you look here, you will see that you can also say that this experience can come as upadhi, isn't it? Upadhi, do you know this word upadhi? Upadhi means the mind is an upadhi, intelligence is an upadhi, senses are upadhi. Why are they called upadhi? It is through these mediums that the soul is relating with the world, isn't it? Through the senses, through the mind, through the intelligence. These are called upadhi. So through upadhis, the soul is relating with the world. If you look into Nectar of Devotion, it says there, Sarva upadhi vinir muktam tatparatvena nirmalam. There's a verse from Rupa Goswami. It says there, Sarva upadhi, all upadhis, you have to be freed from that to come to pure Krishna consciousness. Sarvobhadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. At that time, your consciousness is pure. When you are free from upadhis. In other words, mind, intelligence, senses, they are obstacles in our process of realization and the truth, realizing the truth. Soul is acting through these three age mediums with the external world, isn't it? In the Kathopanishad, if you take, Kathopanishad talks about it in a little different way. That's why I was saying that Bhagavadam, this particular part in the Bhagavadam has come from Upanishads. In Kathopanishad you will find this, that Krishna is there, this discussions happens between it's the same point. What it is mentioned there is na jayade mriyade va vipashchal nyayam kudaschil babuva kaschil ajo nitya shashadoyam puranam na hanyade hanyamane sharire. This is in the Kathopanishad. Upanishads were spoken long before Bhagavad Gita. the same message from Bhagavad Gita, from Upanishad, Kathopanishad, Krishna has taken that and put it in the Bhagavad Gita with very little difference. Na jayade mriyade va vipaschil. It is interesting to think here that if bondage and liberation are reality, we also understand from Bhagavad Gita, we don't take birth, isn't it? We don't take birth. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, we don't take birth and we don't die either. In the second chapter, Krishna says this, isn't it? Na jayade, na mriyade. Va kadajal nayam bhutva bhavido vana bhuya. Ajaha nityaha shashwadaha puranaha. Ajo nityam shashwadoyam puranam. This is the nature of the living entity. Krishna is saying that. Na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Even if the body is killed, he doesn't die. He never gets killed. So in Bhagavad Gita, if it says like this, and we are all struggling for liberation here, how does that together work? Krishna has already said in the Bhagavad Gita, Nahanyade Hanyamane Shaire Ajo Nityam Shashodoyam Puranam. It is the oldest, it is eternal, and it is Shashodam, is permanent existence, everything is absolute, as far as Krishna is concerned, the living entity. Then here in the Bhagavatam we are saying, talking about bondage and liberation very seriously. So there, in order to get a clear understanding, Bhagavad Gita support is necessary here. That Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter was very clearly established. All those verses, what is second in the second chapter, are very serious verses. That Krishna is saying there, that Nasade vidyade bhavo, nabhavo vidyade sada, ubhayoravi drishtvandas tanayor tatu darshivi. Again, ajonityam shashadvayam puranam nahanyade hanyamane sharire. That clarity, if it comes to us, then this doubt about bandham and moksham will go away from us. Because there is no way you can accept that and you can accept this as well, bandham and moksham. Bandham and moksham is a thing which has happened to us in the effect of the modes of nature. There is no other theory behind it. That in the impact of the bandham and moksham, that what has happened to us is that we have taken this as reality. That's why everybody says they are working towards liberation, isn't it? They're working towards liberation. And Krishna says here that name moksha na bandhanam. There is no moksham, there is no bandhanam either. So the words that are spoken in the Kathopanishad says there that the reason is spoken in the Upanishads, why it is like that. It says, Kathopanishad says, Paranjikhani vidanastvayambhu, vidanastvayambhu, tasmat paran pashyadi andaratman, kaschid dhira pratyagatmana maichad, avartavas chakshud udasvamishchad. He says here that we are these two things, Parak and Pratyak. Parak means that soul trying to get out through the mind, intelligence and the senses. Soul is trying its way out. That is Parak. And when the soul is trying to go out in that way, it experiences the world, it experiences so many things. And start accepting everything as real. We are fighting against that. What is that? That is when it becomes Pratyak. Pratyak means inside. Pratyagalma. It's called Pratyagalma. When you go towards the soul, it is Pratyagalma. When you go outside from the soul, outwardly to the world, it is what is called Parang. Parak. Paranjighani vidanada swayambhu. When Lord Brahma created us, he created us in this way, that the soul will find its outlet through all these different agents, like mind, intelligence and the senses. It happened that they all wanted to go back to the soul. Always they were telling the soul, come through me, I'm here, take advantage of me, come through me. And we continued this process for several lifetimes. That is Parak. Pratyagatma is the other way. Pratyag. Pratyag means we push the senses, mind and intelligence to go inwards. To go inwards, looking for the soul. That is Pratyagatma. So, it says here, in Karobinishad it says here, Kaschid Dhira Aham. He is Dhira who has started this process. Who has started this process of going, looking inwards, looking for the soul. He is Dhira. And he says here, Pratyagatma Anamaikshad, to see the soul inside. Pratyagatma Anamaikshad, to see the soul. So, this process is spiritual life. Looking inwards and going, looking for the soul. And the self-existent spirit worked its way out from within. And thus the openings of the mind are directed outwards. Namely, the sense organs. Therefore do men's thoughts ever tend outwards. But the few who have true understanding turn their mind inwards and realize the self within. Those without understanding, who do not control themselves and pursue external pressures, fall into the widespread net of birth and death. Those of steady mind, realizing what is truly lasting, do not turn their thoughts to transient pleasures. So you can see here that the this what is spoken in Kathopanishad, Krishna is bringing it back again here. Krishna is bringing it back again here. So that's why he said here that the shoga moha sukho dukham dehavatischa maya swapnam yadatmana khyadir samsadir nadu vastavi. Then after saying that, Krishna is saying there the cause of this avidya. How does this maya has come to us? Vidya vidye mamadanu vidyuddhava sharirinam mokshabandagari madhye mayayami vinirmitem mayayami vinirmitem. Then when we experience the dream state and when you came out to the jagrat, to the awakened state, how you have rejected the dream because you have understood that it was not real, therefore you are able to reject. Krishna is saying to us in the Jagrat state also, to an extent what you are experiencing is all to is also not real, but you have accepted that as real. And this feeling has come to us from what is known as avidya. Avidya is the cause behind this. Now, what is difference between vidya and avidya? This also we have to understand. We know, people have this understanding that at some time, point in time, when the knowledge of the self developed through shastram manifests in a person, that knowledge will stay with him in that way. Actually, it doesn't. Vidya and avidya, knowledge and ignorance, are both coming from maya. This is another interesting thing. They are both coming from maya. Vidya and avidya, they are both coming from maya. Vidya is also maya's potency. What is happening to us is, using that vidya, we realize the self, the truth. Once you have realized, Krishna is saying the vidya also will leave you. Because then you don't need the vidya anymore. Vidya is not required after that. Because you have come to your true identity as the soul, then you don't have to study anymore anything. Or you don't have to develop, keep this knowledge with you. Because you have already become one with the truth. With the truth, isn't it? That's why I was saying in Upanishads, the principle is like that. When the tatvam or the truth what is spoken and the person, they become one. That is the goal of the Upanishads. To make the person one with the truth. It's no point keep on studying hundreds of books and intellectually discussing and writing theses on that and presenting to universities and getting PhD from here and PhD from there and becoming a professor in some university. All this is useless. As far as spiritual life is concerned, that's all right for a profession and a job and all that. It may be okay. Because there's people there everywhere to pay for some courses. So you'll also find somebody there to do that. But that's the nature of this world. But if you come to spiritual life, really want to understand, one who is seeking the truth, for him all this is waste of time. Has no use. Because that's what Krishna is saying. Vidya and avidya. Vidya vidye mavadanyum. విద్యుద్ధవ శరీరినం మోక్షబంధగరీ మాద్యే మాయామే వినిర్మిదే. మాయా హాస్ క్రియేటెడ్ బోత్ బోత్ విద్య అండ్ అవిద్య హాస్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ మాయా. దాట్స్ వై మాయాదేవి సడ్డస్ ఇస్ విద్యా విద్య స్వరూపిణి. విద్య అండ్ అవిద్య ఇస్ బోత్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ హర్. సో వాట్ ఈస్ దెన్ విద్య అండ్ అవిద్య? హౌ డస్ విద్య అండ్ అవిద్య వర్క్? ది సోల్ హ్యాస్ ఎ నేచర్ బై విచ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఏబుల్ టు, ఇట్ హాస్ గాట్ వాట్ ఈస్ నోన్ నాలెడ్జ్ విత్ ద సోల్. సోల్ హ్యాస్ ది నాలెడ్జ్, ఇస్ ఇట్? దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ వీఆర్ యూసింగ్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ డే ఇన్ అవర్ డీలింగ్స్ విత్ దిస్ వర్ల్డ్. వెన్ వీ వాంట్ టు స్టడీ సంథింగ్, వీ అక్వైర్ సమ్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఫ్రమ్ సమ్ బుక్, బట్ హూ ఈస్ గెటింగ్ ద నాలెడ్జ్? It's coming because the soul has allowed us to do that. The soul gives us the strength for learning something, capacity to learn something. So the soul by nature has this, what is known as consciousness or bodham or consciousness. And it is that consciousness is developing into these two, knowledge and ignorance. The same consciousness goes in both ways, in the form of knowledge and in the form of ignorance. This is the important point. Just like we gave the example, if you remember Brahma's prayers, Brahma spoke about this important thing, that how we misunderstood or we mistook the rope as a snake in the darkness. There was a rope lying there, it was twilight or it was not very clear. So mistakenly we thought that there is a snake lying there, isn't it? And later on somebody brought the torch and showed it to us, and we looked at it and we found it's a rope, it was not a snake. So the same knowledge inside, the same consciousness has experienced at one time as the rope and another time as the snake. Both understanding of rope and the snake has come from the same person, from the same consciousness. So you have used the consciousness and understood the rope and understood the snake at two different times. That's all. Rope didn't become a snake and snake didn't become a rope. But at one point it was a rope for us and another point it was a snake for us. So these two differences of the snake and the rope, example is given in order to make us understand that it is with the same knowledge you are accepting it as a snake and it's with the same knowledge you are accepting it as a rope also. Is it not? The knowledge is the same. Only thing is, at one point you accepted it as a snake and another point you are accepting it as a rope. So this knowledge, what Krishna is talking about, is Krishna is saying here that these two understanding of is called vidya and avidya. Of the same knowledge what is inside the soul has, when it understands things in two different ways, it's called vidya and avidya. And that has come from maya. That has come from maya. That's what Krishna is saying here. That these two forms, when maya has gone away, both things will go. Vidya and avidya will also go from us. Then this knowledge of the soul inside, when it starts flowing through the mind, intelligence and the senses externally to the world, and that is how it develops into these forms of vidya and avidya. The not capable, our capacity of this knowledge inside to understand things, to take certain things seriously and to reject certain things seriously, that's happening because the potency for us in the soul comes out through the senses, through the mind, through the intelligence to the world outside and start dealing with the world. And when that is under the influence of maya, because it's through maya's agents we are acting with this world, vidya and avidya. So when we are released from maya, both vidya and avidya will also disappear along with that. When Krishna says all these things, we must not take it as a philosophy. It's not a philosophy. We shouldn't think that, oh, this is another philosophy Krishna is saying. There's so many other philosophers are there in this world, so Krishna is also giving one philosophy. No, that's not like that. It is Krishna's actual reality from the transcendental, because Krishna is the absolute truth. He can speak, nobody else can speak. Uddhava has pointed out this to Krishna in the very beginning of the Ekadasi Skandam, if you remember. Satyasyade sudrishamalpanam alpanonyam samsara vaktram udekshavinanujakshayam sarve vimohitadiya tavamayedam brahmadayasanuprada gunarartabhavaham. What does it mean? Satyasyade sudrishamalpanam alpanonyam. To talk about soul while situated in the platform of soul, only such a person can talk about the soul. And I don't see anyone else except you, Uddhava said to Krishna. From that point, you have to take this. Whatever Krishna is speaking to us, is speaking from the platform of the soul. That's what is important. Satyasyade sudrisham almanam almanonyam vaktaram isha vibhudeshwabin anujakshay. To speak about the soul being situated on the spiritual platform, that is very difficult. We can also talk about the soul, isn't it? We also read from the books, so we can also talk about the soul. But why? What is the difference, Krishna talking and us talking about it? Krishna is speaking from the spiritual platform because he is the soul of everyone. He is present in everyone as the soul. So for him, it is not a new thing. For us, we have to come to that realization before we can talk about the soul. That is the reason why great personalities who are self-realized, they don't have to speak. Even while their presence itself has the impact on us, because they are present in front of you, at least for that moment, the true, in the true form as spirit soul. That impact will be there on someone associating with them, naturally. So, vaktaramisha vibhudeshwabin anujakshe sarve vimohidadiya tavamayayeme brahmadayastanubrudo bahirartabhavaha. Including Lord Brahma and others, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, brahmadayastanubrudo bahirartabhava. Even for Lord Brahma, sometimes he falls into this illusion. Like we saw in the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, in the 13th chapter. So, because Uddhava is saying there that even Brahma cannot speak in this way, like the way Krishna is speaking. Because Krishna is speaking purely from a spiritual position. And therefore, there is no point in us trying to logicizing with Krishna about this. This is Krishna's point, and that is why it becomes our false ego won't allow us to accept anything. This is the biggest difficulty. We will keep asking questions and questioning Krishna's words instead of following the process, what Krishna has told us to do, and realize that what Krishna wants us to realize. We may ask questions, but in the event of all this, Ekadasi Skandam's discussions are based on this understanding. Those who have that acceptance, it becomes a lot easier in their mind. It becomes a lot easier. So here, Krishna has spoken that Vidya vidye mamadanu vidyuddhava sharirinam moksha bandagari madhya maya me vinirmideyim. That from maya both have come. Both have come from maya. The only thing what is real is the soul. That always we have to remember. Everything what we are discussing and what we are talking about is in terms of Maya's potencies. And Maya is not real. So that's why Krishna said like that. That then Maya me vinirmide. Vidya vidye mamadanu vidyuddhava shariyanam. Moksha bandagari madhe Maya me vinirmide. Now, this relationship with Jiva. Jiva means the conditioned soul. Isn't it? Jiva means the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul finds it difficult to understand Krishna's position as the absolute reality, who is free from all, is present inside as a super soul, Paramatma, but at the same time it will be very difficult for the conditioned soul to turn towards Krishna. Because if he starts turning towards Krishna, what happens? Eventually, conditioned soul, that is what is going to come in the next two verses. I mentioned that before, that verses number 6 and 7, it is that going to come later. Suparnavedau sadrushau sakhayau yadrachayaido kritanirau javakshay egasthayo khadadi pippalanan anyo niranobi belena bhuyan ആത്മാനമന്യം ജസ വേദവിദ്വാൻ ന വിപ്പലാദോ വിദ്വാൻ അവിപ്പലാദോ നതു വിപ്പലാദ യോ അവിദ്യയ യുക്സതു നിത്യബദ്ധോ വിദ്യാമയോ യ സതു നിത്യമുക്ത. സോ ഇൻ ദീസ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് കൃഷ്ണ വിൽ സ്പീക്ക് അബൌട്ട് സംതിങ് വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ്, ദ റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് ബിറ്റ്വീൻ ജീവ ആൻഡ് ഈശ്വര. കൃഷ്ണ relationship between jiva and ishvara. But prior to that, Krishna is saying here that vidya vidye mamadanu vidyuddhava sharirinam sharirinam moksha bandhagari vidya vidye he mayaya me mayaya vinirmide mamatanu vidhi. Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, this vidya and vidya avidya actually gives bondage and liberation, isn't it? Vidya gives liberation and avidya gives bondage. So Krishna says here that this vidya and avidya has been created by maya, and they are my maya's potencies, and therefore they are my potencies, Krishna says. So if you accept this, that vidya and avidya is actually causing bondage and liberation. When there is vidya, there is liberation. When there is avidya, there is bondage. And therefore, you can get liberated for today, and tomorrow you can be in bondage again. That's also there. Today you can be liberated, but tomorrow you can be in bondage again, because avidya has come back. Vidya has gone away. Then vidya and avidya plays this role all the time, because they are both maya's potencies. So we are fighting against this avidya using vidya. And by intent, the only way to free from this is, as I mentioned before, that is why all the shastram is teaching us to execute sadhana. Sadhana is for this, to fight this avidya. So while executing sadhana, what is happening? We are chanting the holy name, remembering Krishna. We are meditating on Krishna's form, hearing about Krishna. Because all these activities are related to Krishna, the Supreme Truth, Absolute Truth, who is not affected by vidya and avidya, at least at that time, you feel yourself freed from the influence of maya. While performing sadhana, you feel yourself, if you are performing the sadhana properly, even there also, if you are thinking about the money and the business and all that, then that sadhana is also, the time wasted in that way. Then it becomes I've taken this initiation, I have to chant these 16 rounds. Cursing itself, you'll be chanting 16 rounds. That's all waste of time. So what Krishna is saying here is that through that process of executing sadhana, when sadhana becomes very, very intense, that will create, that is the only way to escape from avidya. That's the only way to escape from avidya. So that is why sadhana is so important. And at least at that time, while executing sadhana, you are out of avidya. And if that process continues over a long period of time, what will happen? Slowly, slowly, a thought will start coming inside that this body has nothing to do with me. This is when and that realization comes. Most of us, what we are trying to do is that we are trying to maintain this body nicely, thinking that although I'm not this body, I like to look after this body very much. And we try to live in this world trying to adjust both things, our material life and our spiritual life. And we want to get liberated with this material body if possible. Isn't it? That's what we are looking forward to. If we can escape to Vaikuntham or Golokam with this body, we'll be very, very happy. Why do we change the body then? Moment somebody mentions to us about changing the body, we get disturbed over it. Isn't it? That's the death. So, actually Krishna is saying here that this understanding that with this body you can escape from here, forget about that. That's not going to happen. That's not possible. Because the very nature of this material body is that it has to go one day from us. We cannot hold on to that. So what will happen is, in this long journey of spiritual life, after many years of sadhana, If the sadhana has been very well, we know very people who are doing very good sadhana also in life, after a long time, they come to a point and they get stuck there. In sadhana, they get stuck there. How do they get stuck there? They come to understand that they are not this body. They understand to a very high degree within themselves, they understand they are not this body. And now and then, the consciousness and the thoughts and the mind develops in such a way that they experience their connection with Krishna, with the Absolute Truth. But it doesn't stay there in that position, and they come back again, back to the old state. And then they complain that for some time I was feeling very good when I was chanting the rounds. And when I stopped chanting and I had all my business whole day, now I feel completely lost everything. Why is that? Why does that happen? It's happening because this is a particular stage in the process of spiritual life, that you'll be going and coming back all the time, going back to the Supreme Super Self and coming back to the conditioned state. It keeps coming back and forth. And when this continuously going back and forth, it is that time when Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita as Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. That Jivalogam is Amsham, Krishna's Amsham and Amshi. You have to know this, Amsham and Amshi, what it means. Suppose the sun in the sky is reflecting in a pot of water. There's a huge pot of water, and the sun is reflecting in the water. Sun is reflecting in the water. While the sun is reflecting, the reflection has got all the has got everything of the sun, except that it is coming. It is inside the water. So this is our connection with Krishna. This is the type of connection we have with Krishna. It will come in the Bhagavatam. Come back to that. That the soul Krishna is reflecting in the chittam. Chitta means the subtle body. And when Krishna is reflecting in us, it comes out in the form of false ego. Krishna's reflection within us, when it comes out, it comes in the form of false ego. Why false ego? It is then that we feel, I am independent, I thought comes. The I thought has also come from Krishna. Krishna is reflecting in us, in our subtle body. When it reflects in there, the I comes from there. And as soon as the I comes, ahankaram comes, false ego develops, and we become identification with the body starts from then. So, when this water in the pot is clear, the reflection is also clear. When the water is contaminated, the reflection will also be equally bad. Isn't it? So, this question is not only in the Agadisha Skandam. You must look into this in the third canto. In the third canto, when Vidura went to see Maitreya Maharshi, this is how the whole discussion started there. Maitreya and Vidura discussing this topic. There's a number of verses there, where Maitreya Maharshi is telling Vidura that, think about this, he says, that this part and parcel, amshamshi bhavam, of connection with the Super Soul. So here he says that when the Super Soul, Krishna, is reflecting in avidya, ahankaram comes. Avidya is inside us. That's what we have stocked up in so many lifetimes, avidya. When the Super Soul is reflecting in that avidya, ahankaram comes, false ego comes within us. And that avidya, what is gone inside, that starts in the karana shariram, isn't it? In the what is causal body, as it's called, from there the growth begins. So our origin started from the causal body to the subtle body to the gross body. That's how we have come. From karana shariram, in that avidya, Krishna reflecting in the form of false ego, at that time there was no mind, there was no senses. It was only avidya was there, ignorance was there. So the soul captured the ignorance. While reflecting in the ignorance, it became the false ego, it developed, and it came down to subtle body level. Subtle body level. By now, it has created the other things, what's required. The mind was created. So from the causal body, subtle body has come. And from that subtle body, when it has accepted the five material elements for its growth, it has taken the form of gross body. So you can see how subtle the whole thing is. What we call ourselves today as, say, 6 foot 2 inches tall and 110 kilos weight and all that, what we identify ourselves with every time you go to the doctor, they take your weight and height and all that, isn't it? And identify very strongly, goes on like that. So we also accept that, oh, that's me. Everyone asks you also, what's your weight, what's your height, and all kinds of things we say. But strictly speaking, our height is very small, our weight is also very small. There's no weight, there's no height either. This height and weight is for the body, isn't it? So from the Karana Shariram, this is why those three states are important. From the Sushupti states, everything begins. That's why we are saying the whole secret of life isn't there. When the soul reflects in the avidya, immediately the birth takes place for false ego, develops, I am separate, and avidya comes up. Because avidya is strong there, ahankaram has also come and it comes down to the next stage of development. Next stage of development is with the subtle body of mind, intelligence and the senses, everything comes along with that. So out of all these things, the first one taking birth is this ahankaram, false ego. You can see in the morning when you come from Sushupti straight thing into Jagrat, from deep sleep into Jagrat, first thing is, oh, I got up. I you put before getting up even. Getting up comes later. I is the first one. So I's origin is important, where I has begun from. I has started right from the Sushupti stage. It was in a hidden form there. As soon as I came out, I came down to the dream state, accepted the subtle body of mind, intelligence, senses, everything, and then wanted to grow further. So because there's a lot of karma vasana inside, which has been accumulated from several lifetimes, that avidya plus this karma vasana inside gave us this gross, beautiful, gross body, what we have got today. So if you keep on thinking like this, you will see that we have a hard work to do. We have a hard work to do. Get out of this gross body, get out of this subtle body, and get out of that avidya as well at the end. And that is what Krishna is saying here. So why did this happen? Because of the desires inside. Can you close that door, please? So the avidya, as you see, we have got these three bodies, isn't it? The gross body has come from prarabdham. That we agree with that, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam it is very explicitly spoken about. That the prarabdham is the cause of the gross body. So when prarabdham finishes, the gross body goes away. Prarabdham finishes, gross body goes away. When the karma vasanas finish, that the what we have created as vasanas inside, when the vasanas finishes, when the vasanas come to an end, the subtle body goes away. The subtle body goes away. And the last thing, what remains is avidya inside, goes away with the waking up of the knowledge of the self. The knowledge of the self, that also goes away. So in three different states, sulam, sushmam, karanam, jagrat, sapnam, sushupti, sattvam, rajas, tamas. Like this, they are all created together. That's why these three states of existence are spoken so much about it. When what happens is, gross body, when it drops, it goes into five material elements and dissolves itself. The subtle body goes and dissolves itself into avidya, to ignorance. And avidya gets wiped out, because avidya is the direct product of maya. Vidya and avidya. So avidya goes away, then the soul in its pure form exists as the spirit living entity. And that is what Krishna is talking about, nasade vidyade bhavo. It is referring to that soul, Krishna is referring to, that is the only truth in us. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayora vidrishtvandam stanayor tattva darshivi. This is the great sage's conclusion. That's why under no circumstances, it is only due to ignorance, we think that, oh, we killed our enemy. Isn't it? We killed our enemy. And this enemy killing and all that is completely actually originating from ignorance. Ignorance of the lack of spiritual realization. So, and this is the same thing Krishna has also spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. If you remember, Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vayam Prabhadyande Maya Medam Tarandide. Isn't it? Devi Hesha Gunamayi. Gunamayi is Maya. Mama Maya Gunamayi. Gunamayi is Maya. And Duratyaya, it is not easy to get over it. Mame Vayam Prabhadyande Maya Medam Tarandide. One who has surrendered to Krishna, he can come. Then you may ask the question, I have surrendered, why I can't get over Maya? So there is somewhere something wrong then, isn't it? That many people say, I have surrendered to Krishna, but still Maya is not leaving me. So that's something to think about, why it's happening like that. So anyway, coming back to this, Krishna said here that ega seva mamam shasya jiva seva mahamade bando savidya nadir vidya jatade taram. That this vidya and avidya can do the job. What job? Of bondage and liberation. Bondage and liberation, it can do that job. Then, now, how to come out of this? Say, egasseva mamam shasya, jivasseva mahamade, bandosya avidya anadir vidya jatate thara. So, the same part and parcel of Krishna, part and parcel of Krishna, who is nothing but a reflection of the super soul within the false ego, and has come in this form, he has, Krishna is saying here, he, according to, due to the ignorance, bondage and liberation has happened to him. Now, when the reflection of the sun in the water exists, the contamination of the water affects the sun in the water. It doesn't affect the original sun, does it? It doesn't affect the sun in the sky. It only affects the sun which is in the water. If the water is contaminated, impure, that impurities will show up in the sun as well. So Krishna is saying here that because of that, this effect will not be there in the super soul. It is a similar connection with us also. Krishna says like this, that we are, because of the avidya and the karmavasanas inside, all those things are affecting that soul which is a part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna's part and parcel is experiencing everything inside, but because of the presence of so much material consciousness in the form of this karmavasana and also in the form of material desires and sense enjoyment desires, things like that, we feel we become conditioned. In other words, it is not showing its pure form. The soul, the jiva, is not in its pure state of consciousness. So jiva has to come out of this. And that is what in the third canto you will see, that the Krishna, when Vidura and Maitreya spoke about this, let's look at that also. Because when Vidura spoke about this, Vidura's questions were little different. Vidura was saying there to Maitreya Maharshi that
శ్రీ శుగవాజ స ఇత్తం జ్యోతిదక్షత్ర తత్వజిజ్ఞాసునాముని ప్రత్యాహ భగవచ్చిత స్మయన్నివ గదస్మయాం. విదుర మహర్షి, విదుర హ్యాస్ కమ్ డౌన్ టు శ్రీ మైత్రేయ మహర్షి, అండ్ విదుర వాజ్ కంప్లీట్లీ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ. అండ్ ఆల్దో వెన్ విదుర ఆస్క్ దిస్ డిఫరెంట్ క్వశ్చన్స్ టు మైత్రేయ మహర్షి, మైత్రేయ మహర్షి ఆల్దో నో రీజన్ టు స్మైల్, నో, దట్స్ హౌ ఇట్స్ మెన్షన్ ఇన్ ద భాగవతం, బికాస్ విదుర హ్యాస్ క్వశ్చన్ వాస్ దట్ ది పర్సనాలిటీ సేస్ భగవానేక ఏవైష సర్వక్షేత్రేషు అవస్థిత అముష్యా దుర్భగత్వం వా క్లేశో వా కర్మభిక్కుతాః. దిస్ ఇస్ ద థర్డ్ క్యాంటో చాప్టర్ 7 వర్స్ 6. ఇట్ సేస్ హియర్ సర్వక్షేత్రేషు అవస్థితాః, సర్వక్షేత్రేషు అవస్థితాః, ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ Krishna is present in Kshetra, means the body. Material, here it is the material body referring to. All material bodies are referring as Kshetra. Krishna is present in everyone as Kshetrajna and Jiva, isn't it? As Jiva. Is it not the same Krishna who is present in everyone? Because we have come from Krishna, isn't it? We are part and parcel of Krishna. So in other words, our connection with Krishna is stronger than our connection with the material nature. So Vidura's question is, అముష్య దుర్భగత్వం వా క్లేశః వా కర్మభి కుతః. సో దేర్ఫోర్ అండ్ బై నేచర్ వై ఇస్ ఇట్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ దట్ వి ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆల్ దిస్ డిస్ట్రెస్ అండ్ మిసరీ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఆల్దో వి ఆర్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ, కృష్ణ బై నేచర్ ఈస్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్. The Krishna doesn't go through all the three modes of material nature or the three kinds of miseries, and nothing affects Krishna. But, and we are part of Krishna. So Vidura is asking the same question, that as soon as you become Jiva, it loses its happiness altogether. All happiness is gone and it becomes simply a miserable personality, all of us referring to. Very miserable, always in distress, always in a thoughtful mood, what's going to happen next, anxiety about every hour, what's going to be next, who is going to come now, give me trouble, this way. So this nature, Vidura is asking Maitreya Maharshi, how did this happen? Because if you look at Krishna, Krishna was not anxiety any time, was he? Even right in the middle of Mahabharata war, he was smiling. Will we smile in the middle of any war? Even if you meet a distant enemy, even then you will not smile. You'll become very grave, won't you? So, whereas Krishna was smiling there, whereas Uddhava is asking, we are part of Krishna. And why is this that we become so miserable like this? And we seems to have, Krishna is saying there, he's saying here, Sarva Kshetreshu Avasthidaha. In every body, he is present in our form, in this nature, as the individual soul, that is he not the same person? Krishna is asking, Vidura is asking to Vidura, is he somebody different? Amushya durbhagatvam va klesha va karma bhi kutaha. So how can it happen that he loses all his happiness or all his peace and suddenly he gets affected by his karma and suffer with that? If it is like that, it should happen to Krishna also, isn't it? Vidura's question is like that to Maitreya Maharshi. Edasminme mano vidvan khidyade ajnana sangade tanna paranuda vibho kashmalam manasam mahad. I am also confused very much. Just like Uddhava was confused, Vidura was also confused. He says, Edasmin ajnana sangade me mana khidyade. This avidya, I am fallen. Vidura is actually admitting this, that I am in avidya. He is accepting this. This is confusing me because I am in this avidya and my mind is completely in a crisis. He vibho na manasam tat mahat kashmalam paramanudam. Please clear this doubt for me from my mind. This was Vidura's question to Maitreya Maharshi in the Tritiya Skandam, in the third canto. There is not much difference what Krishna was talking there and Maitreya Maharshi is speaking here.
In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is only one message to all of us, to understand the soul and to understand Krishna. In that process, you'll understand Krishna. And through these different discussions, Vidura Maitreya, Krishna and Uddhava, it's the same point that's coming out. If we have not understood this at the time when Vidura and Maitreya have spoken, again in Ekadasya Skandam, Krishna is talking to Uddhava the same thing. So that's where he's saying here, please clear my doubt. Tanna Paramananda Vibho Kashmalam Manasam Mahat Ajnana Sangadam. Ajnana Sangadam. He's saying, I'm suffering because of this. This question I have. Because our avidya is much more deeper than Vidura. Therefore, this question even doesn't come to us. That our situation is like that. That's what we have to recognize, isn't it? At least Vidura was intelligent enough to ask this question. That, why is it like that? Have we ever any asked this question any time? I don't think so. We have never asked this question because as far as we are concerned, the avidya in us is much deeper than Vidura had. Vidura is Dharma Raja, isn't it? Yama Dharma Raja. When you want to understand Vidura's position, you have to study Kathopanishad. In Kathopanishad, when Vidura comes as Yama Dharma Raja and talks to Nachiketas, you will see the science of self-realization, how he delivers to Nachiketas. At that point, you will see this Vidura in a different dress altogether, in a different hat. And Yama Dharma Raja's hat, how he talks there. Nachiketa, these Upanishads must be studied because it is there the science of the soul is discussed properly. If one is serious about seeking after Krishna, there is enough literature and there is enough knowledge in the Vedic tradition. There is so many people in the past, they have taken advantage of this, and by constantly studying this literature, they have realized the truth. That's what we find. That's why Kathopanishad, Kenopanishad and all the other major Upanishads have such a strong influence on Bhagavatam. As I mentioned before, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam as the essence of Vedic literature. In Bhagavatam you find everything. You find all the other Puranas. Vamana Puranam. Taken from Vamana Puranam you find the pastime of Lord Vamana. Varaha Puranam comes, pastime of Hiranyaksha comes there. Narasimha Puranam comes, pastime of Narasimhamurti, Narasimhadev and Prahlada. Similarly, all the Puranas are taken and Krishna and Vedavyasa summarize this in the first 9 to 10 cantos. Added to that, in the 9th canto, he brought Ramayanam also there in 2 chapters, Ramachandra story. Added to that, he brought Mahabharatam and brought in the first, second and third cantos through Vidura, Dhritarashtra, Kunti Devi, Parikshit, Yudhishthira, Pandavas and everybody. They are also there. So Mahabharatam is there, Ramayanam is there, all the Puranas are there. Not satisfied with all these things, Vedavyasa Maharshi brings Upanishads into Ekadasha Skandam. All the Upanishads in the Ekadasham. So, and Brahma Sutram as well. So this is why Bhagavatam is considered to be the essence of all the Vedic literature packaged in one. That is Bhagavatam. So in this Srimad Bhagavatam, what you find here is, somehow the other Vedavyas is trying to get us to that point to ask these questions. Sri Shuka Uvacham, Sa Ittham Jodhida Kshatrava Tattva Jitnyasuna Muni Pratyaha Bhagava Chita Smayam Niva Gadasmayam. You have to look into the mood of Maitreya Maharshi and Vidura in this. Vidura looking very serious and very grave and very serious question he has in his mind disturbing him, that we, all of us, are come from Krishna, part and parcel of Krishna, part of Krishna. And Krishna by nature is always blissful and happy. Blissful and happy. And we by nature is always miserable and suffering, material miseries. So this is this Krishna's, and how come this has happened? So, because he wanted to know this sattvam, he says here that Maitreya Maharshi started reflecting on Krishna at that point. That you will see. Sukadeva Goswami also does the same thing. As soon as they want to talk about the truth, they go back to the truth first. What is the truth? Truth is only Krishna. Krishna is the truth. So reflecting on Krishna, they start answering. You will see this in several places. Sukadeva Goswami talking in the same way. First thing, allowing Krishna to speak from inside. Only if you remember, meditate on Krishna. Even if by chance, if some ignorance has come in, Maitreya Maharshi is trying to keep it away from inside by reflecting on Krishna first. That's the first thing what he did. Do you not see the same thing in the second canto? Soilam Krishishta Bhagavan Vajaswami. This is the prayer from Sudeva Goswami Sudeva Goswami to Krishna. Sudeva Goswami didn't pray to anybody else. He said there that I pray to Krishna. He should come and decorate my words. If you look into that, this is called Shugasarasudam. Instead of praying to Saraswati Devi for this knowledge to come out, he prays to Krishna. Soilam Krishishta Bhagavan Vajam Sime. Please come and decorate my words so that let Krishna speak through me. This is how Sudeva Goswami started Bhagavatam. Same way, Maitreya Maharshi is also saying here, reflecting on Krishna, let Krishna speak through me the truth. This is how all the great sages will speak. They don't speculate like us do. We all sit here and speculate. So, can it be like this? Can it be like that? And all these questions will come. But if we strongly hold on to Bhagavatam, speculation will stop. We'll become one with Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam and the Tattva, Bhagavatam and the Tattva and the person will become one. And then there will be no more speculation. Krishna will speak through you also, speak through us, all of us. So that is the system of acquiring knowledge. The system of acquiring knowledge is not through question answers. When you meet a personality like Maitreya Maharshi, you can see here, to whom Krishna has instructed through Uddhava to Maitreya Maharshi, that one day another friend, another disciple of mine, who is very attached to me, will come looking for me. I won't be here at that time. Tell him to go and see Maitreya Maharshi. He can give him all what he needs to know. Tell him. And this instruction Krishna has left behind when he left this world. He left these instructions with Uddhava. So that's why when Uddhava met Vidura in Vrindavanam, Uddhava said to Vidura, when Vidura asked Uddhava to give this transcendental knowledge to him, what Uddhava has received from Krishna, Uddhava said, I have no time, because the knowledge has gone in and it was churning inside very strongly. Uddhava wanted to go with that. He couldn't wait anymore. He was feeling that the ecstasy that was experienced. Edadananda samudra sambradam jnanamradam bhagavadaya bhashidam. What Krishna has spoken, that jnanamradam is working inside. There is no more questions for Uddhava. Questions are all finished. And that jnanamradam inside is giving that experience. Uddhava decided to go to Badrinath. He couldn't wait. But he told Vidura, don't worry about it. I am not in a position to give it to you now because I am in a rush to go. But go to Haridwaram and Maitreya Maharshi is waiting there for you. You can hear everything from Maitreya Maharshi. He has been instructed by Krishna. Because if you look into when Krishna was leaving this world, all the great sages were present there. At that time, Maitreya Maharshi was told that Vidura will come to see you one day and you should give him the proper guidance and help. And so Maitreya Maharshi was waiting for Vidura, and Vidura has come now to see Maitreya Maharshi. And it is in this discussion this is happening. Shri Maitreya Vajam Seyam Bhagavato Maya Yanna Yena Virudhyade Ishwarasya Vimuktasya Karpanya Mudabandhanam. Then the way he began, Maitreya Maharshi began this conversation, is very interesting. After reflecting on Krishna, the Absolute Truth, although he was very grave and very serious, but still in a very smiling mood, because this question, Maitreya Maharshi is not hearing the first time. That's why he smiled. When you keep on hearing the same question from one after the other, people after people, all you can do at the end is smile only, isn't it? He will also smile, is it not? Suppose somebody comes and asks you a question, and after 10 minutes, another person comes and asks you the same question. And another few days, another one comes and asks the same question. So, keep on questions coming, and it's the same question, again and again coming to you. What will you do? Because it was Vidura, Maitreya was willing to answer. And because Krishna has told Maitreya to speak to Indra, Maitreya was prepared to answer. But still he smiled, because this question is not a new question. It's a million year old question, the same question. Since when the human society existed, this question also existed, because conditioning was there since then. People are asking the same question. That is why knowledge from the Shastram is not something to be invented. It always existed. The knowledge also existed, the ignorance also existed. So this fight between knowledge and ignorance has been going on from time immemorial, before you can even put a date to it. Ever since creation happened, this fighting also has been going on between knowledge and ignorance. Today what we are doing, research work and finding out something new, this is all not even taken seriously from the Shastri point of view. This is just there to start some industry, to make some money and to get out of this world, enjoy your life and live, that's all. That knowledge has no value at all. But this fundamental knowledge of the soul and the ignorance that it has fallen into avidya, this question is not a new question. It's a question that's been asked at the time when the sages were there. All the great personalities mentioned in the Bhagavatam, you will see a list of sages, isn't it, in so many places. All those great sages were searching for the truth. And these were the same questions the sages also had when they started their spiritual journey. And they cut through this ignorance and came out successfully. And therefore they have experienced the truth, and therefore there is no more questions in them. Questions are all finished. Vasishta, Vishwamitra, Jamadagni, Angiras, Pulasya, Pulaha, Kradu, the endless list in the Bhagavatam. And they were there way before, long, long before Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and Sudeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam. Much before than that, many years, millions of years ago, they were there. And whatever they have spoken and they have experienced, it has come to us in the form of Upanishads and Brahma Sutram. And because Upanishads were so widely distributed, over 108 Upanishads, this knowledge was distributed, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled everything and wrote Brahma Sutram. Just like he did all the Puranas and the Vedic literature, he compiled and created Srimad Bhagavatam. In the same way, Vedavyasa Maharshi took all the Upanishads, and the knowledge in all the Upanishads he summarized and brought it into one book and one literature, and that is Brahma Sutram, or Vedanta Sutram it's called. So this knowledge is there in all these books. It's the same knowledge that is present in Brahma Sutram, in Upanishads, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in all the Puranas, in Mahabharatam, Ramayana, but all spoken in different language in order to suit the listener, suit the person who is listening to. Someone who finds very difficult to study Brahma Sutram, he will find it very hard to understand what is written, because it's all in the form of Sutram. So Sutram is very difficult, unless it is commented by some learned personality. So all the Acharyas have commented on Brahma Sutram. After the Acharyas have commented, still people are not able to understand. So other disciples came and they commented on the commentary. And they wrote commented on the commentary. And that is called Vartikam. And then, after that was written, still people could not understand, so somebody else then wrote commentary on that again, that's called Tika. So like this, Bhashyam, Vartikam, Tika, in this way, the original knowledge has to be expressed in different forms, so that people can get a grip over it. Those who are serious about it. Those who are not serious, it doesn't matter. That's what Krishna is saying. They are not going to inquire anymore anyway, anyhow. So therefore, they are exempted. They don't have to worry about it. But those, that is why the same knowledge has come in so many literature in so many forms. The knowledge is the same of the soul. Knowledge of the soul. So, Krishna is saying here, so Maitreya Maharshi is saying, laughed because, he smiled because of this, the same question is coming back again. Same question is coming back again. So, anyway, here, Sayam Bhagavadao Maya Yena Yena Vidudhyade Ishwarasya vimuktasya karpanyam udabandhanam, vimuktasya ishwarasya bandhanam karpanyam cha yat nayena virudhyade sa iyam bhagavata maya. Maitreya Maharshi is saying here, vimuktasya. Vimuktasya means always liberated. And ishwarasya, Ishwarasya means directed towards Ishwara. Ishwara is Krishna. So, Jiva, originally, who is eternally liberated, and he has, when he came from Krishna, originally he was liberated, because he was part of Krishna. And he was directed towards Krishna, Ishwara Abhimukham. It's called Ishwara Abhinnam, Ishwarasya. And for him, because of ignorance, Bandhanam has come. Avidya took over at that time on that Jiva, and because of that, bondage has come. And because of that, all this conditioning, what has happened to him, and you feel this doubt comes to you, how come it affected him? How come this ignorance affected the soul? And Maitreya Maharshi says, this is called Maya. This is Maya. It is Maya that has created this situation, that avidya has taken over the Jiva, and Jiva is caught up in the avidya and thinking itself, nothing to do with Krishna, I am this body, this is Maya. So that is why Krishna said before that Mayami Vinirmite, Maya created this to us, this bodily identity. So it is this strong fight against Maya that is spiritual life. Strong fight against Maya is spiritual life. So we must not misunderstand that Maya, fighting Maya is not an easy thing. It's a bit like the fighting the terrorists. You don't know who they are, where they are, what they are doing. Maya is also very much similar. That we don't know who, what it is and where it is, but she is there. All the time ready to fight. And when you fall, you realize that you have been stuck by Maya. So that's what Maitreya Maharshi is saying here. That just like a magician creates a huge tree out of magic. Similarly, he's saying here that normally you have to sow the seed of, say, mango tree. You sow the seed and it takes its own time for a mango tree to develop in full form. That is the normal situation. But a magician can create a mango tree by his magic ways. And that's what Maya does as well. That's what he's saying here. Because in magic, you can't ask for logic. Magic is a magic, isn't it? Somehow or the other, he manages to put us into a situation that we feel, yes, so many things they do in the magic, isn't it? The man who performs magic, sometimes he kills people, he cuts a person with the sword. Big magicians can do so many things like that. When they do that, we feel very affected by that, isn't it? Big magician, very, very famous magicians can do a lot of things like that. So at that time we get affected by that. And then, but we know somehow inside, we know that that's not real. But similarly, Maya also, he says it's like this. Maya can do things in such a way that you can be affected by that, but in reality it doesn't have any logic, because in Maya to apply logic has no meaning. He gives an example for this. Yadarthena vinamushya pumsam atma vibharyayaha pratiyada ubadrashtu sushiras chedana adigam. Sometimes he says, yad arthena vina ubadrashtu sushiras chedana adigaha atma vibharyayaha pratiyade tatha. Just like somebody is dreaming at night, and in the dream he has felt that his head is gone. He's lost his head. Somebody has cut his head off. Then, similarly, when we understand that we have also woken up from these three states of existence to realization, self-realization, what happens is, he says here, Maitreya Maharshi is saying here, it will be like that waking up from the dream state to the vacant state. When you come from dream to the vacant state, you touch your head and check, because after such a dream that you lost your head in the dream, what do? Immediately you wake up and check, is the head still there or not? Isn't it? So that's what has happened to us. But as soon as you get to know that the head hasn't gone, it is still there, immediately you say, oh, that was a dream. Is it not? You come, recognize, you immediately you accept it, that that was only a dream. But when you lost your head in the dream, it was a reality for you at that point. Similarly, he says here that this bondage liberation also you are experiencing to the soul is experiencing in the same way that temporarily it is experiencing in the form of this mind, body, senses and everything. And one day when it gets liberated, when it comes out of these three states into the realized state, it will see that all these three states of existence were also equally a Maya's game, Maya's pleasure, Maya's activity. So, if the question is asked that if it is happening to the soul, individual soul, which is part of Krishna, how come it's not happening to the original soul, Krishna's soul? Why it's only happening to this soul, part of the soul? What is part and parcel? So, why doesn't happen to that? That is what is explained in the next verse. Yatha jale chandramasa kambadi talkrido gunaha drishyade asannabe drashtu almano analmano gunaha. Jale chandramasa pradivimbida seva. That means, just the moon, just like the moon is reflecting in a pot of water. In water, how does it reflect? Talkridaha kambadi. Asan api yadha drishyade tadha analmana guna drashtum almana eva drishyade. Then, if you shake the pot or the water starts moving, the sun that is reflecting in the water will also move along with that, isn't it? So similarly, the reflection of Krishna within us in the form of the soul will feel that disturbances when the pot starts moving. Or in other words, once you have the mind, the pot is nothing but the mind, or you can call the subtle body, that's what the pot is. The pot is in there. That is the pot. In there, that part and parcel of Krishna has come and occupied. And when that pot is having some disturbances in the form of the body or the mind or intelligence or senses or false ego, this soul, part and parcel of Krishna, who is present inside, gets affected by that. Exactly like the moon in the water, the sun in the water pot. When you shake the pot, sun moves. Whatever that, or the contamination of the water affects the sun, reflective sun in the pot. In the same way, the soul, which is part and parcel of Krishna, as soon as it gets into this material body, it must experience all the mind, intelligence, false ego, senses, and the gross body. The effects of all these things will start affecting the soul, affecting the soul. So that's why he's saying here that only when the false ego is there, that is the origin from everything has begun. So because it has started with false ego and ended up in this gross body, one after the other, it has to shed everything. That's the only way it can come back to its pure state as it was before, when it started the journey. When it started its journey, it was pure, in the pure state of consciousness and fully Krishna conscious. The moment avidya, ignorance took over, false ego came in, then the mind came in, and then the gross body came in, senses came in, everything came. And it became, fell down into this state where we are today. So Maitreya Maharshi is saying here, the comparison is beautiful in the Bhagavatam. This comparison is very well known. That reflection of the soul, Amsham and Amshi. Amsham is the sun. Amshi is the sun. Amsham is the reflective sun. Krishna is the Amshi. And we are the Amsham. We are Krishna's part and parcel. And Krishna is us, present in us. And that's why we have all the qualities of Krishna. But due to this false ego that we have got and the subtle body, we have fallen into this situation today. And as much as when the pot of water becomes stable, and when the contamination of the water is pure, there is no contamination in the water, the reflective sun will have the same quality as the original sun. It will reflect in the same way as the original sun. So, Maitreya Maharshi is saying here, exactly like that, the individual soul also, once it is freed from all its false ego, from the mind, from the senses, from the intelligence, it has to have its pure form, pure nature. This is his point. This is called upadhi. All these are called upadhi. Sarvobhadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena marmalam. This is what it means. When all the upadhis goes away, then it's pure. Pure state of consciousness. So, sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena marmalam. Viva Goswami says this. And it's coming from this. Explanation in the Bhagavatam is very important, because in the Vedanta philosophy these things matter. That what is our connection with Krishna? What is the soul? What does the soul do? And what is, when does it change? There is only three things to be discussed: Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat. These are the three important things, isn't it? Jagat is the creation, material world, or the world, whole creation. Ishvara is Krishna and Jiva is us. Between these three things, what's happening? That's what we want to find. Karmam and other things are later on. That comes later. But these three are the most important entities. Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. Between these three, what happens is what is discussed in Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam, Advaitam, Achindivedabhedam, Kevaladvaitam. They are all referring to this relationship with these three. They all have connections to each other. You can't say that they all have their own reasoning behind it. This is the science of the soul. But all of them agree in one point, that realizing the self is the first thing. At least on, there is no disagreement on that. So from there, whether he is Dvaiti or Advaiti or Vishishtadvaiti, doesn't matter. They all accept this, that getting out of this ignorance, avidya, and coming back to the spiritual platform is human life. That's how they define the human life. They have not given any other priority except this. So, because this is a long topic, we'll continue next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.